Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just yesterday we had discussed that the correction of Salah, normally when you stay under a Sheikh al-Kamil, a Sheikh of Tasawwuf, then various aspects of the life of a person is corrected. And Salah of a person will also be corrected when we stay under Mashayikh. Now when Salah of a person is corrected, then a person will derive great enjoyment in that Salah of his. His Salah, what he used to read before, and now once the Salah has been corrected, there's a world of a difference between the two Salahs. There's great enjoyment now he will derive in his Salah. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he writes about Hazmura Khalil Ahmad Sahab Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, his Shaykh. He says that when it used to come to the Mubarak month of Ramadan, then Mawla Khalil Ahmad Sahab Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to eat, he says, very, very little. And that is actually the objective of the month of Ramadan, that a person should now decrease his food throughout the year, a person he eats. So we nourishing the physical body. And throughout the year we busy in all our activities. So the ruh of a person, the soul of a person is neglected throughout the year. But in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala makes it such that the table turns the other way now. So everything balances out. Now the physical body is neglected. And more work is done on the ruh. So actually a person when he eats less, he gets more control over the nafs. That is why in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he advised the youngsters, that he said, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Those that have the ability of making nikah, then get married, make nikah. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرُ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. This will give you the ability to lower your gaze and to protect your chastity. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. That person got a lot of desires, and he doesn't have the means of making nikah also. Then for this person, he must now keep roza. That roza will assist this person. And that too, what type of roza, what type of fast? Not that a person, he fasts one day, misses a couple of days, then he fasts again. No. Continuous fasting. So what happens that he gets control over the nafs. Now if a person is eating a lot at the time of iftar. So what is he doing? So he is making talafi mafat. Whatever has been missed the whole day, covering up now here. And then he is eating a lot sehri time. So hifzu ma taqaddam. He is now protecting for the whole day now. Whatever he has to cover up for the whole day now, store it here for the rest of the day. So then that objective is not fulfilled. And another reason for roza that the ulama have written is that a person, he also experiences a little bit of what the poor people, those that are underprivileged, what they go through. That you going through it just for a few hours of the day. Because in the evening again you're eating, sehri time again you're eating, after Tarawih again a person is eating. So you just going through that difficulty of thirst, of hunger, just for a few days. Like as I mentioned also the other day, that in some countries which you go to, they don't even have water. They don't have water available. They just dig into the ground. And they go to the point where they find water. And when they reach that point where they find water, that is the water they take out. This we have seen, they take it out and they use it to wash their clothing also. They take it out and that's the water they use to drink also. And sometimes the sickness is there. So you're going through that difficulty a little bit. But they go through it every day. So by you going through it, you resemble them also. You know what they go through throughout the year. Anyway, we said, Mawla Khalil Ahmad Sahab Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Hazrat used to eat very, very little. He used to come onto the Dastar Khan to sit. He says, because everyone is sitting, that is why I'm also coming. That is why I'm also sitting on the Dastar Khan. And what he used to eat, they say, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah says, about 1.5 chapati. Chapati is that roti, thin roti, that in India they used to make. So he says, 1.5 chapati. And then his Khadim used to say, Hazrat, no, eat more. So he said, no, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat. So that's what he used to eat for sehri or for iftar. And even more than that, Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, you must have heard this, he's written also in Fazail Amal, that Hazrat never used to eat. Only after the Taraweeh Salah, obviously he used to break his fast, and then after the Taraweeh Salah, a few cups of that finjan, black tea, just black tea, he used to have this. So, and then he would carry on with his ibadat. So on one occasion, Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, he told him that, Hazrat, you're going to get very weak. In Ramadan, whole day in ibadat, and then you're not eating also. So you're going to get very weak. So he said, Alhamdulillah, Jannat ke lutf utha raha hoon. I'm enjoying the pleasures of Jannat over here. So that's the point that I was explaining. that when that ibadat, when we learn how to read that proper salah, and a person now has to read two rakats of salah, then what enjoyment he will get in that salah of his, that nothing in the world will give him that type of enjoyment. On one occasion, our Hazrat explained to us, he said that when he was in the Khanqah by Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, so Hazrat told Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that Hazrat, the ta'aleem that you have given us, all this knowledge that you have given us, he says that I get the enjoyment, we get the enjoyment of Jannat. Oh, so Hazrat Hakim Sahib got very happy. He said, call everyone, call everyone. They called everyone in the Khanqah. He said, sit down, sit down. So he said, now what you told me, say the same thing again. So then he said that, Hazrat, the ta'limat that you gave us, that through that we are getting the enjoyment of Jannat. So when he said that, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, he said, that's what I want. That's what I want from my murids. That through this, a person will come onto deen, and the enjoyment a person is supposed to get in Jannat, that enjoyment a person will get here immediately in the world, he is getting the enjoyment of Jannat. That person that is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he gets the enjoyment of Jannat in this world. So this is what we'll get from a perfect salah. Allah Ta'ala give us all that type of a salah. One or two aspects in regards to salah, now we're going to inshallah go into the kitab, is that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made mention of salah, aqimus salah, this command of salah. This command has come approximately 62 times in the Quran Sharif. Now, what was the need for Allah Pak now to 62 times to command or to repeat that command? You could have one time said aqimus salah, and that was sufficient. It is now farad, it is now obligatory upon you to perform salah. But this one reason is to show that importance, that how important is salah in the life of a Muslim. That repetition has been brought, like how taqwa has been repeated, various aspects have been repeated. Salah has also been repeated, that this is very serious, the salah in the life of a Muslim. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in his time when he was ruling, they say that in today's time, if we have to count the countries that Umar radiallahu ta'ala was ruling over, 15 countries in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, obviously perhaps they didn't have all those countries at that time, like we have today the various countries. But if we have to count all those countries, 15 countries Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was ruling over. Now when he had 15 countries, he had to obviously send governors to all the countries. Him sitting here in Madinah Munawwara, it was not possible to oversee everything. So he had governors that were ruling over the various countries. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala would dispatch these rulers, then what would he say? Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. That the most important matter of yours, according to me, is that your salah. فَمَنْ حَفِظَهَا وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا حَفِظَ دِينَ. That person that has protected his salah, he has taken care of his salah, then this person has protected his deen. If your namaz is in order, then your deen is 100% in order. وَمَنْ ضَيَّهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَدْيَعُ. And that person that destroys his salah, he's got no tekan about his salah, not up to date with his salah, then all the other matters of deen, he will be left in all those matters. He'll be negligent in all those matters of deen. So, to him also, salah was most important. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, perhaps this was towards the end of his life, he said, for about 60 years of my life, I'm involved in the khidmat of deen. That lot of khidmat of deen he had done in the work of Quran also, tafsir also, hadith also. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah did a lot of work in fiqh, you know, outstanding, so much of work as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had done. But he says that in these 60 years that I've been so actively involved in dini work, fatawa, etc., he says, masail of namaz, he says, we still have to go back to the kitabs. After 60 years, he says, we still have to refer to the kitabs, we still have to go back to the kitabs and find out what is this masla, what is that masla. A person, he cannot know everything. And if a person managed to go over everything also, let's assume there was a case, then you can't remember also everything. Many a times you forget, you have to go back to the kitabs. But he was complaining. What Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah said, so many people I see, that they're so content, they're reading their salah, 100%, they're content with their salah. However they're reading for years in this particular manner. But there's no fikr, there's no concern that I must improve my salah. He says, they content with their salah. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he ruled over approximately half the world. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's rule was even further. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, in spite of his daily activities, now worrying about all the affairs of the Muslims in the world, it is mentioned that he would take out time from his daily activities, from his routine, and he would show people practically that how you must read salah according to the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very same in regards to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. He would gather his students and he should tell them, Ala usalli bikum salata Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should I not show you the salah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Practical demonstration that how the salah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be performed. So this is that salah that we are sitting to learn. That salah, how Nabi alayhi salatu, obviously we cannot get our salah to perfection. But we try to the maximum that we can go. We make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and try to improve all the time. A person mustn't become complacent. Now I've read a perfect salah. When, as long as a person, he thinks my salah is not in order, that person is okay. As long as he performs salah, but at the end he says, I've spoiled it. I haven't read a proper salah. That person is okay. He's still safe. But the moment a person thinks that my salah is okay, my salah is in order, finish, that person, he's in problems. Because where can we read a perfect salah? Like a person, he's got a ball. So there are three types of people. The one type of person that you get is a naqid. Naqid means one that criticizes. See, somebody does something, he criticizes that person. Somebody else does something, he only finds the fault in a person. Haji Bhai Paja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he used to go to give bayan, so one person used to come to listen to Haji Bhai Paja Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he should sit in one corner with the notebook. And all the mistakes, now when the person he speaks, sometimes the mind is working very fast. So you go to say something, but you say something else, and then you carry on. You don't realize it, but the listeners, they pick it up. So all the faults of Haji Bhai Paja Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to write down, he used to record it. So Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, he said that what can I do if this has come in his share? That he only writes all the faults of a person. That is a person that is naqid. If you take a pig, for example, a swine, and you take a swine in a beautiful garden, there's a beautiful garden, and you put the swine in the garden, what would the swine do? It won't go into the flowers and all the beautiful places of that garden. It'll go in one corner where all the muck is, all the dirt is. And that's the place that it will dig. So a person that is naqid, this person, he doesn't get anywhere. He's in minus all the time. Because he only finds the fault in people, he doesn't look for the good in people. They say that person who Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to conceal his faults, then he will conceal the faults of others. When he'll conceal the faults of others, Allah ta'ala will conceal his faults. Person that criticizes, he wants to take out everyone's faults. Allah Ta'ala save us, this is very dangerous. So this is one type of person. The second type of person that you get is what you call a qani'. Qani' means a person that's got qana'at. He's very content, a very content person. So a person that is qani', a person that is content, he won't go anywhere. He won't progress, he won't go further, because he's happy with what he's got. So he's content, he will stay in that place. And the third person is a talib. Qani is like, for example, a person, he threw a ball up. So when he threw that ball up, so when he threw it with force, it will go up. And it will go higher and higher. But you will reach a stage where that force behind the ball now comes to an end. It terminates. When the force terminates, what's going to happen to that ball? It doesn't stay there. It now comes down. And it comes down faster than it went up. That is a qani. A person that is content, he goes up. And then when he becomes content, he doesn't stay there. Now there's decline. Now he comes down very quickly again. So that's the second type of a person. And the third type of a person is referred to as talib, a person that has desire. This person is not content with his condition. He all the time, he wants to increase. No matter where he's reached, he wants to go one step further. Wherever he's reached, he wants to go ahead of that. So in the salah that we read, when a person, he becomes, when he criticizes, that's out of the question. When he's content with the namaz that he's reading, I've read the namaz, a proper namaz now, that person already in danger. A person should be talib all the time, that I'm not reading a proper namaz. How can I improve in my namaz? How can I correct my namaz? Read a proper namaz. And on the other hand, a person, he shouldn't become too despondent also of his namaz. One person, make shukr, Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of making salah, alhamdulillah, wallah, I am so sinful. You gave me the tawfiq of coming in your house. You gave me the ability to perform the salah. You gave me the tawfiq of making shukr, of putting my head in sajda before you. So a person shouldn't become despondent also, that what is my namaz? No. Make shukr to Allah. Allah, you gave me the tawfiq. And for my shortfall, for my deficiency, Allah, I make tawbah, I make istighfar. One person, he came to Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi Rahmatullah Ali. So he came to Hazrat and he said, Hazrat, what is our salah? What is our salah? He says, what is our ruku? What is our sajda? Such filthy thoughts come into our mind. What is our salah? What is our ruku? What is our sajda? So Dr. Abdul Haysab Rahmatullah Ali told him, he says, so you're saying that the ruku that you're making, that is also filthy. The sajda that you're making, that is also filthy. So he said, Hazrat, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's correct. That our salah, our ruku is also filthy, our sajda is also filthy. So Dr. Abdulhisab Arifi rahmatullahi told him, see, I'm also a filthy person. Insan, what is insan? Inside the human being, there's only impurity. You get one cut, finish, your wudu is gone. Little bit of semen comes out of the body, your husal also is gone. There's only filth in the human being. But that was the Hazrat wanted to explain a point to him. So he said that, see, I'm also filthy. And he says, your ruku you saying is also filthy. And your sajda you saying is also filthy. So he says, now make ruku to me and make sajda to me. Make ruku to me and make sajda to me. He said, Hazrat, how can I do that? How can I make ruku? How can I make sajda to you? This I make only for Allah Ta'ala. So he says, when you make it only for Allah Ta'ala, make shukr. Allah gave you the tawfiq to make ruku, to make sajda. You make shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And on the faults that you have in your salah, the mistakes you make in your salah, make istighfar. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that being that is shakur. Alladhi yu'til ajr al-jazeel ala al-amal al-qaleel. You do a little bit. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepts that. So this is the attitude that a person should have when he performs his salah. So now we'll come to the forward of this kitab. هذا الكتاب من الكتاب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلوك والتصوف اور ذکر و شغل کے طریق کو اختیار کرنے کا مقصد اللہ تعالی کی رضا کے لیے نسبت باطنی کا حصول ہے. He says, what is the objective of choosing this path of سلوك. سلوك means to tread the path. سلوك means to tread the path. So a person is walking the path, he is treading the path, going towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So any person that is treading the path, walking to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that person is called a salik. So suluk means to tread the path to Allah Ta'ala. So he says the objective of choosing this path of suluk, of going towards Allah Ta'ala. Now we have come here for Allah, so we are all saliks, we are all treading the path towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So the objective of suluk and tasawuf. Tasawuf comes from the word suf. Suf actually means wool. So the Buzurgan al-Din, the pious, the awliya in the past, they used to wear woolen clothing. They didn't have time about wearing this type of clothing, branded name, this type of outfit. No. Simple woolen clothing they would wear, and they would spend their time in the ibadah of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, we live in a topsy-turvy world. Everything is upside down. Today, all the emphasis that is in the world is on the outside of a person, not the inside of a person. We're not worried about the inside. But they say, andar hai kala, bahar ujala. That inside is all dark. But the outside of a person is shining. On cosmetics, how much they will spend. That just to look good. Just to, many people will even go for, ladies will go for that plastic surgery or whatever. Cost hundreds of thousands of rand. The outside must look good. But in the inside, there's no worry about the inside. Whereas the actual thing is the inside. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he made dua to Allah, what dua I mean? Wala tukhzini yawma yub'athun. Allah, don't humiliate me on the day of Qiyamah. Because the day of Qiyamah is such, in dunya, husband did something wrong, he hid from the wife. Wife did something wrong, she hid from the husband. Child did something wrong, he hid from his parents. Day of Qiyamah, nothing. Everything is going to be open. And everyone, from the first person to the last person, everyone is going to be present. So he made dua, wala tukhzini. Allah, on that day of Qiyamah, don't humiliate me on that day of Qiyamah. It is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, Ibrahim alayhi salam will meet his father, Azar. Azar didn't bring iman, he left the world on kufr. So he will meet his father. When he meets his father, وَعَلَى وَجْهِ, the riwayat comes in Bukhari Sharif, وَعَلَى وَجْهِ آذَرَ قَطْرَةٌ وَغَبْرَةٌ. On the face of Azar, there will be darkness, there will be dust covering the face of Azar, disheveled. He will be in that condition, pitiable condition. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam will tell him, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ لَا تُعْصِينِي. O my father, in the world, didn't I tell you, don't disobey me? Listen what I'm telling you. So much of advice Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave his father. In the 16th para, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned all this. And Azar got frustrated. So he told him that, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. That if you don't stop, O Ibrahim, I'm going to pelt you now. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. So now you get away from me safely before the time comes when I pelt you. That's when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was from Iraq. So he said, Salamun alayk. That peace be upon you, O my father. That now I'm going. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrat. At that time only his wife had brought iman on him. And his nephew, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. So three of them, they made hijrat and they had gone. So all those advices Allah Ta'ala makes mention in the Quran. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave his father. So he said, I told you in the world that don't disobey me. So the father will say, Al-yawma la a'asik. Today I won't disobey you. whatever you tell me today, I'm prepared to do. At the end of the day, that's the father. At the end of the day, this is the son. Which son won't have pity for his father? So he will make dua to Allah Ta'ala on that day of Qiyamah. That, oh Allah, that you promised me you won't humiliate me on the day of Qiyamah. Dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Don't humiliate me on the day of Qiyamah. So he will make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, you promised me you won't humiliate me. فَأَيُّ خِزْيٍ أَخْزَى مِنَ الْأَبِي الْأَبْعَدِ. Which humiliation and which disgrace can be worse than the fact that my father is distant and has been brought far away from the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala will tell Ibrahim al-Islam that, O Ibrahim, I made Jannat haram upon the kuffar. He died upon kufr. I can't put your father into Jannat. But Allah ta'ala promised Ibrahim al-Islam, I will protect you from this humiliation. So Allah ta'ala will tell Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, what's under your shoe? Look under your shoe. So Ibrahim al-Islam will look under his shoe. It's mentioned when he looks under his shoe, he will find like a little scorpion or some insect or something. So he will pick that scorpion, that insect up, and throw it into the fire of Jahannam. To protect Ibrahim al-Islam from humiliation, his father will be transformed into that scorpion or that insect or whatever it must have been, and that will then be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So this is the dua of Ibrahim al-Islam. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day of Qiyamah is such that the wealth and the children of a person won't be of any benefit. In dunya, a man, he's got money, he's got all the contacts. So even if he's in the wrong with his wealth, he does the wrong thing and he bribes, which is obviously haram, but through his contact, he gets his work done. He has children, through the children, he will get his work done. On the day of Qiyamah, your wealth is of no benefit. Children is of no benefit. What is of benefit? Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Person that comes to Allah Ta'ala with a sound heart. Allama Alusi, our Shaykh explained it, that Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi, he explained what is a sound heart. We don't want to go into that. But the heart, if the heart is correct, then a person will be okay on the day of Qiyamah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he received this title, Khalilullah, that is a friend of Allah, the Malaika objected. Malaika objected to this. Khalilullah, what a big title Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam got. Allah Ta'ala said, test him. Test Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it is mentioned, one angel came down from the heaven. Ibrahim al-Islam was with his goats in the jungle. Every Nabi of Allah was a shepherd. Why? Because in taking care of your flock, you have to run behind the goats. Now you going behind this way behind the goats will go in that direction. You go that way, the goats will go in that direction. So they tire you, they make you run the whole day. They frustrate you. But what you have been trained? Tolerance. You are taught tolerance here. So tomorrow when you're going to become the Nabi of Allah, you're going to work amongst the people. You get people with different temperaments. Everybody is going to say different things. Now if you don't have tolerance, how are you going to work with people? So every Nabi of Allah, one reason is this, that they had to graze the goats before they were granted Nubuwat. So one angel came down. Ibrahim alayhi salam was with his goats. So when he came down, he said, Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was an ashif. He was a lover of Allah. When he heard that, he went into a trance. He said, please, one more time. Take the name of Allah one more time. So the angel said, okay. He came, he didn't know this was an angel. He saw a human being. He says, okay, I'll take the name of Allah. What are you going to pay? So he says, 50% of my goats I'm prepared to give you. 50% for once, taking the name of Allah once, I'll give you 50%. So he said, okay, took the name of Allah again. Again, Ibrahim al-Islam. He enjoyed it even more. The name of Allah was taken. So he told him, please, one more time. Take it one more time. So he says, okay, I'm prepared to take it. What will you pay now? So he says, the other 50% of my goats, I'll give it to you. So all the goats of Ibrahim al-Islam is gone. Now when he heard the name of Allah again, he gave the other half. He enjoyed it even further. So he said, please, one more time. So the angel said, now what are you going to give? You've given all your goats. He said that you need a shepherd and you need somebody to take care of these goats. I'm prepared to take care of these goats for you. You take me as your shepherd. You take me as a slave. I'm prepared for that also. So he says, but take the name of Allah one more time. So he says, I am an angel. I've been sent by Allah Ta'ala. This was a test to see whether this title of Khalil, you are worthy of it or not. 100% you have passed. وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. Every test that Allah Ta'ala put him through, he passed those tests with flying colors. So this is what we are saying, that's actually the heart of a person. When the heart, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. It's not the outside of a person. So these Sufia that were out there, they were concerned about the heart. And it is the ruh of a person that's the actual thing. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi about the ruh. What is the ruh? Allah Ta'ala says, this is the command of your Rabb. It's the command of Allah. When the command of Allah Ta'ala, to understand ruh, when the command of Allah is in the body, we are living. The command of Allah has come out. That same body now is dead. The command of Allah is in the eye. That eye now can see. The command of Allah came out. That eye can't see. That eye cannot see any longer. But another man is dead. He is already passed away. It's not permissible. I'm just explaining the masla here. The point here. That you took out his eye. What they call cornea transplant. You did a cornea transplant. You took out his eye. Now here the eye, the command of Allah has come out. So the person became blind. He can't see. But now you took out the eye from the dead person. And now you did a cornea transplant, which is not permissible. So you transplanted that eye. And you put it now in place here. That eye now started seeing. Why? The command of Allah Ta'ala is there. The heart. Right? The person, the command of Allah came out, he passed away. But now a person where the command of Allah is still there, you take that dead person's heart and you do a heart transplant. Now it's working over here. Why? The command of Allah is still remaining here. So this is the rule. It is the command of Allah. When the command of Allah is in the hand will feel. If the command of Allah comes out from the hand, hand becomes paralyzed. Now you can't hold anymore. The hand doesn't work anymore. So this is the rule. This is the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now if we look in the world, for the body, for the physical body, there's every type of hospital that is available. For the eyes, you'll get optician, optometrist, and so many other types of doctors, just for the eye. For the heart, you'll get cardiologist. For the brain, you'll get a neurosurgeon. For the skin, you get a different doctor. For the nail, for the nails also you get a doctor. For every type, or every part of the body, so to say, there is a separate doctor. And there are government hospitals, semi-private hospitals, private hospitals, medical centers, doctor's surgery. All this for what? It's only for the body, for the physical body, which is not the actual thing. The actual thing is actually the ruh, which is the soul. How many doctors and how many hospitals in the world we have for the ruh? This khanka. Khanka is a hospital. Is the hospital for the ruh. Now how many hospitals like this we have? And when a person is sick, he meets an accident, they have to rush him to hospital. Hospital is how many hours a day? 24 hours. Medical center, 24 hours. All these facilities that are there, 24 hours. Doctor on call, 24 hours. Everything is 24 hours. But for the ruh, Ramadan, once a month. So once Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri Sahib, Daun Barakatum, the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darulum Dioban, he was here. He said, what is Diobandiyat? He says, following the ulama of Dioban, is that the khanka must run throughout the year. And this is our desire of our Hazrat. Many a times he says this also. He says that the khanka is such a place that if any time a person is sick, when the heart is sick, when there's a problem with the ruh, a person must be able to go and get treatment. For the physical body we get treatment, for the ruh, there is nothing. So for the body, for the outside body, people do so much just to look younger. Today there is an injection. All this year when you get older, it starts going inside now. By the eyes, under the eyes, the face, all this starts going inside. So now there's an injection, they inject into the face. So what happens? You start looking more younger now. And it's a different masala whether it's permissible or not permissible. And the harms, this is now, many a time you find out that these things are cancerous. All these injections that are given, just for looks. Just so that a person looks a little better. And how much longer a person is going to live? Now a person is 50 years, they're going for those injections. One leg is already in the cupboard, other one is on the banana peel. Any time they're going to go in, but now you need to look younger. So this is the reality. Allah Ta'ala, this beauty, actually Allah Ta'ala has kept where? Allah has kept beauty in deen. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Sahaba in Quran. That those that were with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَالَّذِينَ مَعْنَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Against the kuffar, very, very hard. Among Sahaba, among themselves, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Very, very compassionate, loving among themselves. And Allah Ta'ala says, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانَهُ. When you see Sahaba, they in ruku, they in sajda, making tahajjud namaz. Now what was the result of this tahajjud namaz? Allah Ta'ala says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. That the marks on their faces was because of the effect of sajda. Was because of the effect of sajda. So here Mufassirin have written that the mark on the face doesn't refer, many people when they make sajda, you get a mark on the forehead. Not referring to that mark on the forehead. that because they used to always make the tahajjud namaz, Allah Ta'ala put that noor, that light in their face, a person that performs salah, you will see it, that his face is always shining. Today, doctors have proven it today. They say that where the heart is situated in the body. So for the heart to pump down is very easy. Anything, person walking, to walk downhill is easy. To walk uphill is a problem. Man is on his bicycle, to ride downhill is very fast. To ride uphill becomes a problem. So understand it the same way here also, that you got the body. For the heart to pump the blood, the heart is pumping blood all, every split second. To pump down is very easy. But to pump up is not so easy for the heart also. But Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the sajda. When you go into sajda, all the blood now gushes where? Onto the brain, onto the face. So now you will see that person that performs salah, there is now brightness on the face of that person performing salah. And for a kafir, somebody that's not performing salah, you will make out his face. There's no salah in the life of a person. Just by that brightness on the face. So sahaba, Allah Ta'ala gave them that noor, that brightness on the face, because of their salah. Seemahum fi wujuhim min athari sujood. So the beauty actually comes in deen. That a person doesn't have to go for all this. Allah will give him beauty in deen. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, نَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا ثُمَّ أَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. Allah Ta'ala keep that person fresh. Allah keep that person fresh. That he heard my words. He heard the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He preserved the words of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Then he conveyed the words of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam as he heard it from Nabi Alayhi Salam, without any addition or subtraction. How he heard it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is how he conveyed the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala will keep that person fresh. Meaning he will look good also. Allah Ta'ala will keep him healthy also. Why? You learned the words of Nabi Alayhi Salam, you propagated the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So exactly as you heard it, you conveyed it. That is why Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he was very particular. When he would quote the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَذَا أَوْ نَحْوًا مِّنْهُ أَوْ قَرِيبًا مِّنْهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said like this, or similar like this, or close to this. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That it mustn't happen that I misquote the words of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. So here also this glad tidings, Allah will keep this person fresh. In another hadith it comes, عَلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَتِلَاوَةِ كِتَابِهِ فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ. This narration comes in Jami Ustaghir. That make tilawat of Kitabullah. Or make zikr of Allah Ta'ala and make tilawat of Kitab of Allah Ta'ala. What will happen? This will become a means of nur for you. So the actual beauty that Allah Ta'ala has kept, this is in deen. Allah Ta'ala hasn't kept this in all these tablets and all these injections that people use in the world. So the mashayikh of that time, the Sufia, they never worried about the outside. They were worried about the inside. So he says the objective of threading this path to Allah, and the objective of tasawwuf, what is it? And the objective of all these spiritual exercises that a person carries out, he says, is to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and for a person to attain nisbat-e batini, an internal connection. So all this we doing, whether it is zikr, all the spiritual exercises, objective of all this is please Allah Ta'ala and we get connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is the objective of the tasawwuf. Now this level of tasawwuf, this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Munatami Rahmatullah, I mentioned this, that he mentioned previously, yesterday or day before I mentioned, and Munatami Rahmatullah also mentioned that when we didn't have this connection with Allah Ta'ala, and we used to speak from the mimbar, the whole mimbar used to shake, and the masjid used to shake, nothing used to happen to people. But when this nisbat comes, when connection with Allah Ta'ala comes, a person, he will speak simple things, but he says, thereafter there will be earthquakes on the hearts of people. People will come and just want to change their life. Somebody was involved in this guna, he came and he'll say, after I heard that bayan, I just want to change my life. Why? Because that nisbat was now found. Now a person has got connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is that nisbat that a person gets by threading this path. But today also you get many people that are fakes, many fake mashayikh also, that they come, they act like great mashayikh and they want people to follow them. But in reality they got no nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. One murid, he saw a dream, and in the dream that he saw that he had stool on his finger. And he saw his sheikh, and the sheikh had honey on his finger. So he came to his sheikh. So he told the sheikh, I saw this dream. What's the meaning? Sheikh said, it's so clear. You got stool on your finger. You're a man of dunya. And I got honey on my finger. I'm the man of deen. So he says, wait, I'm not finished with the dream. So he says, that my finger, now he says, the one that saw the dream, he says, my finger was in your mouth, and your finger was in my mouth. So he got the interpretation. What was the interpretation of it? He said that the sheikh, he was after dunya, after this man's dunya, so he was running behind him. That's why his finger was still was in his mouth. And the murid, he was sincere, he wanted to reach Allah Ta'ala. That is why the sheikh's finger, which had honey on it, was now in the murid's mouth. So see, many a time you get these type of sheikhs also. Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he mentioned, it's written in the fatwa, that one way of ascertaining, one way of knowing that this is a true man, he's a pious man, he's a man of Allah Ta'ala, he says, watch who are his followers. When you find ulama inclining towards the man, ulama going towards him, then this is one sign, this is one there are other indications, this is just one indication which Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written. The other is, you see his face, the moment you see his face, you remember Allah Ta'ala. So Mufti Mahmud Sahib has written that when you see ulama inclining towards a person, then you must know this is a man of Allah, he's accepted even by the ulama. One shares, he never used to read namaz. So he was with his murid, so now they're wondering, Hazrat, he don't read namaz. He say, what you think about me? I don't read namaz. I read namaz in Makkah Sharif. His martaba was so high, he was reading in Makkah Sharif. So one day he was walking. So as he was walking, so he went into a trance. So people say, Hazrat, what happened? He got worried. He said, in Makkah Sharif, the dog was entering the haram. So I chased the dog away. So they said, no, this sheikh is very, very high. So they went home, the sheikh now, they told their wives, you know what, the murid told the wives, that, you know what type of a sheikh we got, he reads namaz Makkah Sharif, and the dog was entering the haram, he chased the dog away. So one murid, he told his wife, I have to invite my hazrat, you have to give him da'wat. So she said, okay, you want to give him da'wat, give him da'wat. So they gave him da'wat. So she said, I'll put this fellow right. So da'wat time came, now they all came to the house. So she said, I'm going to serve the food. I'm going to dish it out. So she started dishing out. She took out properly with a lot of meat and everything. And she gave all the murids first. Normally the food must go first by Hazrat, isn't it? Now she said, no, give the murids first. So she gave all the murids and big, big pieces of meat. Now when it came to Hazrat's turn, she took the meat, she put it down. And she took the rice and she covered the top all full with the rice now. And now she gave it to him. As he was angry now, because everyone got their food first. He was served last. Number two, there's no meat here. And it's only rice he sees over here. So he was very, very angry now. So she came then with that, tongs. And she gave him. She said, you can't see the meat under the rice where you can see the dog entering Kaaba Sharif. So these are sometimes the type of mashayikh that we get also. Big tasbih, big jubba. And we think we get deceived by this. But in reality, there is nothing there. Where our akabirin were such, one packet, just few sets of clothes in there, and then they used to walk. Qari Siddiq Sabbani Rahmatullahi, he has written, he said, Allah Ta'ala ne inko aisa rob ata farmaya, jo salateen ko bhi nahi ata farmaya. That our buzrugs, with their simplicity, with that one packet, and those one or two kurtas, what rob Allah Ta'ala gave them, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala never even give to the kings of the time. Mawlana Thami Rahmatullah Ali, one person came to him, he told Mawlana Thami Rahmatullah, Hazrat, I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my dream. So he says, I became Sahabi. I saw Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, and you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam become Sahabi. So Mawlana Thami Rahmatullah Ali told him, he said that you saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your dream, so you are Sahabi, but you're a dream Sahabi, not real Sahabi. So these type of people also you get. Once in Pakistan, they had an advertisement in the paper. So they wrote over there that two sheikhs have come from Jeddah. And anyone want to take bayat, they must come and take bayat. So then somebody came by Hazrat Hakim Sahib and they told Hazrat that this is the advertisement. So Hazrat said, maybe it's possible. But then he said that check with them, who are they mashayikh? Who are they connected to? They have to be connected to somebody. Who are they connected to? So they went and investigated. Then they said that, they said no, they got no sheikh. They became self-made sheikh. So Hazrat said on that time, he said, لا تأخذه بابا من لا بابا له. Don't take that person as your father who got no father, where he came into existence from. Like the chickens you get today, no father, no mother. They just, in the machine they make the chickens, and we're eating that chicken, so we can understand why we don't have strength also. So he said, don't take that person as your father, as your sheikh, who don't have a sheikh. This, Hazrat says many times, he says that our tasawwuf, this is 100% mudallal from Quran and Hadith. 100% from Quran and Hadith. Sometimes people used to come by Hazrat Hakim Sahib, they said, make tawajju on me. But they say, I don't know what tawajju. Leave this tawajju. I don't know what tawajju. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala. I know what is dua. Turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So all these extra things, leave them one side. What is the actual objective? Islam, that is what we must concentrate on. So here, this is what Hazrat is saying here, that the objective of the suluk, treading the path to Allah, the objective of this tasawwuf, which is the same thing, suluk, tasawwuf, and all these spiritual exercises, the zikr, all this we're doing, this we want the pleasure of Allah. And when we get the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, what's going to happen? We're going to be now connected. A person will have connection to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then further, he says, jiska matlab Allah Ta'ala se khusus hubbi ta'alluq ka hona hai. This means that a person will have a special connection with Allah Ta'ala. A special contact now he has with Allah Ta'ala. Like you get two types of friends. One is the friend, you meet him in the masjid every day. Assalamu alaikum, how are you? So that's also one friend. You meet him, you know him. But if somebody asks you, what's his name? Now you don't know his name. But you know everyone in the masjid call him Babu Bhai. So you say, no, Babu Bhai, we know Babu Bhai. What's Babu Bhai's name? You don't know his name. So that is also a friend. And another friend you get is that friend that is your genuine friend. When he phones you and you just have to answer when you hear the salam, oh okay, certain person has phoned. Or he walks in the masjid and now you're reading namaz, you heard that cough in the back, oh he is here now, I know exactly who is here. So when a person, he's got this nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, this is that connection he will have with Allah Ta'ala in everything, it is me and my Allah. A person that got this type of ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, he don't even worry if he's got a problem with somebody, he doesn't worry about that problem with that person. Why? He knows that if a person throws a stone at a dog, the dog won't fight with the stone. Why? The dog knows that the stone can't come on his own. There's somebody behind the stone. So exactly the same way, if a person has problem in his life, so whoever did the wrong also with him, he knows that how has he come? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's permission, all this has happened. So he sorts out his matter with Allah Ta'ala. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna rabbihi, aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqi. You sort out your matters with Allah, Allah will sort out between you and the creation of Allah Tabaraka. So this is the connection that a person now has with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.